Groves Natcheva. Am I pronouncing it right or wrong?
Very close.
What should it be?
Groves Natcheva.
Groves Natcheva is a collaborative architectural practice established in 2000 by Murray Groves and Adriana Natcheva, which undertakes not only architectural commissions, but also for furniture and film work as featured in the London Design Festival. Drama is their watchword, so let's welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us to speak here today. The question that we wanted to discuss is, what is good architecture? And it's quite a big open subject. The first question that I have to say to that is, for whom? Who is this architecture for? And who are the main players when we talk about architecture? So we have the person who's going to live in the house, and the person for whom the house is an expression of who he is. You have the community, in fact, you have the city, so it's an expression of who we all are throughout history. And then you have the developer, who wants to make some money, and he wants to feed his family, and he wants to go on holiday. So the usual perceived notion is that these forces are at war with each other. The person who wants to build a house for himself wants it to be the biggest and the best, and doesn't matter about the community. The developer wants to make a lot of money, and there's a community on the other end feeling hard done by because something new is happening or something isn't happening. So our proposal is that it's exactly an architect's job to take these seemingly disparate forces and create a solution that is win-win-win. And so in that respect, an architect's job is much more than simply designing things that are aesthetically pleasing, but it's designing things that are creating solutions, long-term solutions, for how we can keep bringing the money into building work. We want the developers to come in and build the buildings and make their money and continue to do that, because without them we don't have anything. But we also want to be able to create houses that are really exciting for people to live in and that are also not at odds with the community. So really the question, the philosophy that we have is an intention to be the peacemaker between these disparate forces. And after that, there's no more to the philosophy. After that, according to us, everything depends on the particular case. This building, this site, these people, this developer. And so what we wanted to share with you is one project that we've done here in Broccoli on Jeffrey Road that has elements of what I've just spoken about. So Murray Groves is going to do the detailed talk about the building. Thank you.
So a little bit of history. This building was first, well, the developer first came to us in 2005. So we're looking at a building that is actually currently 12 years in the making. And in the beginning, we were, again, in competition with four other architects, I believe. And the developer was doing a joint venture with the landowner. So originally, the developer had this back piece of land that was disused garages. And we were asked to look at it as part of a competition. We were asked to look at it as part of a competition with other architects to see what we could put onto the site. So you can see the existing, it's a very typical part of Broccoli. There are a lot of backland sites with a lot of garages that are disused. It was actually, tires had been thrown over onto the land over a period of time. It had become disused, it had become derelict, it had become an area of not particularly beautiful. So we were then approached and asked to look at the existing context and look at the way of actually developing the site to maximize the density. So looking at the developer's requirements as far as good architecture, the developer wants to maximize the density of a site, get as many units on there in order to maximize the return. So the idea was to create a series of pavilions in the rear of the property and create two towers to the front of the property which relate to the scale of the street. The pavilions at the back would have green roofs, so the neighboring properties, when they viewed out to the garden, it was as if the garden had been sculpted three-dimensionally to create a series of courtyards. So here you can see an initial study of the massing and the density of the existing streetscape and the way in which the building was used or was to pick up the narrative of the existing building. So to the right of the top photograph, you can see the existing Victorian terraces that were probably built around about 1880 or the late 19th century. And you can see that they're over three floors, and there's gaps between the buildings. So we then decided that actually to take the scale and the massing of the existing buildings, we would create two blocks with a gap between the existing buildings, the new buildings, and then onto the smaller scale buildings, which were the two-story buildings up towards the top end of Jeffrey Road. In terms of the vertical hierarchy, we then were able to extract out the elements of the existing buildings on the street. So you can see the primary entrance door, upper staircase, you have the lovely bay windows to the lower ground and raised ground floor level, and then you have the three stories up to roof level above. So what we did is we created this elongated entrance into the property, and then we created a central bay. You've got the lower ground, the first floor, the second floor, and at the top, we created a belvedere. So actually being informed by the vertical hierarchy of the existing building. So we took the proportions and everything from the existing context, which we feel is always very important to look at the spirit of a place, and the building kind of builds itself after a while. So you actually build the site. Looking at the materiality of the building, people always say, why did you choose timber? Well, timber is actually, it's a soft material. And originally, with the site being an open landscape site and wanting it to feel more of a landscape scheme, it was then decided to choose wood as the material. And you can see the way in which the hierarchy of the building is used through the articulation of the elements on the facade. With the top, and if you look at the top portion of the building, it's actually slightly outside of the line of the buildings below. So the proportion of it increases as you go up the building. So here you can see at the top the idea of the belvedere. It's more open. You get the views up and down the street, and you get the views to the church beyond on the other side of the escarpment where the train railway track is. And the element at the top, we've doubled the proportioning of the building, and we've actually got a slight little lip that runs around the top to exaggerate the vertical hierarchy. And you can see the entrances to the upper floor flats is actually picking up the narrative of the existing buildings to both to the further down Jeffrey Road. To the back, the idea was to create this communal street and a series of smaller pavilion buildings, which then had their own, not only a communal street, but if you can see the cuts into the buildings, those become little private courtyards within the space. So you had the public space and you had the private space. So you go from the street externally on Jeffrey Road to the internal street to your own private internal courtyard inside. And when we were looking at the presentation for the developers and for the planners, we were sort of presenting images similar to those that you can see on the top right-hand side. So it became something very private, very insular. And then the views from the backs of the properties to the left and to the right, when they look out, they see this green roof, which is actually softening the landscape or picking up the existing landscape that's around. And here you can see that once you're inside the space, you can see the communal street. This is a private courtyard on the left. This is a private courtyard on the right. And the way in which you inhabit the spaces internally is that you divide the living space from the bedroom space with this private internal courtyard, which is open to the elements above. And this is a long section through the site. So you can see the timber cladding on the front buildings going up, doubling up at the top, creating the belvedere or creating this sense of vertical hierarchy at the top. You've got the low-level building with the green roof to the rear. And the plan shows it almost like it's a series of boats docked into the space. So I don't think you could get many more units onto the space. And when we first presented the scheme to the planners, we were actually very fortunate because looking at the way in which putting buildings or putting contemporary architecture into conservation areas is always very delicate. And the way in which you present your projects is of paramount importance. So We work very closely with the planning authority, and the planning officer that we had for this scheme was very supportive of the scheme. And through close dialogue with them, we were able to develop it to the stage of which it currently now stands. In addition to that, we went through a very intense public consultation period. We met with the Broccoli Conservation Society. We gave a presentation in one evening in somebody's conservatory, which was very nice. Had tea, and we were able to discuss the scheme, and we presented a three-dimensional model at this meeting. We also had another public consultation in a church within the area, and we got a very, very, very positive response. Overall, we feel that now the building is 12 years down the line. It's quite interesting because a couple of months ago, I got an email from a couple that actually had a baby that lived in one of the tower blocks to the front. And they like living in the building so much, they've asked us if we can find a third bedroom in their two-bedroom flat. So looking at the end user, it's actually... For us, that's really successful because we've also heard that a lot of these, when it first came to the market, the developer was very concerned that they weren't going to sell because it was very, very close-knit at the back, but they actually sold very quickly. So a successful developer, and over the longer term, the people that have actually bought these units and live in the towers have actually stayed there for a very long time, and not many of these have actually sold on since they were first occupied. It's a building which we are very very proud of. It took a long time in the making. It was a very long, protracted process, but we also feel that it's a very sensitive sensitive scheme that was apt for the site.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
If anybody has any questions, be happy to answer them.
Well, one, because we're running... Yes, go on.
Just a quick question just about the cladding, the new cladding. Was it difficult to persuade the planners to agree to that?
We had to go through we went through a process where we actually developed a one-to-one model. So if you go back here, we had a builder that ended up doing it. We had a couple of carpenters, great carpenter and joiner, just a couple of guys over a whole winter, actually put all the cladding up together, and I think just one of the cladding panels has failed since, which is a remarkable achievement. The element you can see on the left-hand side was actually a one-to-one sample panel, which we did for the planners, and in addition to that, because there are concerns over weathering, the detail of the building is very tight, so you can see the junctions between the vertical elements and the horizontal cladding pieces themselves, there's no shadow between them. So the idea is that the gradation from the cedar, which is the yellow cedar that you see here, to the grey over a period of time, you're not going to get patching. And that's why you use flush detailing with timber cladding. And in addition to that, the windows are actually of a grey, so when the timber goes to a grey, the windows will match the timber cladding. So you think about the weathering of a building when you're designing it as well. It's not just, here it is when it's finished, what a wonderful photograph. You have to think about the weathering of the building over its history and how it's going to weather, how it's going to deteriorate, how it's going to age. So that has also been considered very carefully with the detailing of the building.
Very interesting. Go on. You've kept well within your time. Tamsin, a very short question because I let it overrun before.
Do people really want to live permanently in somewhere that's exciting?
In somewhere as exciting?
Yeah.
Yes.
I have to say that the facts show that that is the case. The flats at the rear have been taken by young professionals and that wish to remain within Broccoli. They were born here, their families are here, and there aren't very many properties like that for them, a kind of smaller scale, well-designed, affordable, and it's a little new street. It's very communal. So I think everybody there is happy, but I don't know, we can go and ask them.
Well, actually, I think it's important to say that the building has been designed around a central street. So the idea is that you have your own communal street, and it's actually trying to pull the residents of the building into feeling more part of a community. And for us, that's really important.
I came round it the other night.
Okay.
Although, for me personally, they could feel like office buildings. But just generally, whether you're in a conservation area, other conservation areas, people seem to be buying into the Victoria House and then wanting to rip it up and change it. And I'm wondering if it's because they're being oversold the concept of you want to do somewhere fresh and exciting, what you want to do. When long term, it would be better to keep the
Well, I was just, go on.
I think you're absolutely right. If there is an existing building, we should do everything to preserve it. But this was an open site. And conversely, I think it makes no sense to be building Victoria buildings because we need to think for ourselves. We're not Victorians. So when you have a site that is fresh, you have to do what you're doing. Because otherwise, why go back to Victorians? Why not go back to Georgians? Why not go back to the Romans? So I think we have a duty to be thinking for ourselves when it's a new site.
And also I think it's very important that people have seen their homes as investments rather than places to inhabit. And when you put people into new spaces such as this, you actually are saying you've got to learn how to inhabit space. And it's something that we've forgotten over a period of about 25 years a lot because through property just being purely about investment. And now I think we're beginning to learn through good architecture, learn about how to inhabit good architecture and how to appreciate good architecture rather than just seeing it as purely as an investment.
Thank you very much. This has been very interesting.